Chapter 30. You don't doubt it's being a blow to Jack, Rosa? Apostrophe apostrophe, she merely replied, and that evasively and hurriedly. Why should she? She had not thought about it. He seemed, to her, to have so little to do with it. My dear child, can you suppose that anyone so wrapped up in another Mrs. Tope's expression, not mine as Jack is in me, could fail to be struck all of a heap by such a sudden and complete change in my life? I say sudden, because it will be sudden to him, you know. Apostrophe, she nodded twice or thrice, and her lips parted, as if she would have assented. But she uttered no sound, and her breathing was no slower. How shall I tell Jack? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Edwin, ruminating. If he had been less occupied with the thought, he must have seen her singular emotion. I never thought of Jack. It must be broken to him, before the town crier knows it. I dine with the dear fellow tomorrow, and next day Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but it would never do to spoil his feast days. He always worries about me, and modly coddles in the merest trifles. The news is sure to overset him. How on earth shall this be broken to Jack? Apostrophe, he must be told, I suppose. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Rosa. My dear Rosa, who ought to be in our confidence, if not Jack? Apostrophe, my guardian promised to come down, if I should write and ask him. I am going to do so. Would you like to leave it to him? Apostrophe, a bright idea. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Edwin. The other trustee. Nothing more natural. He comes down, he goes to Jack, he relates what we have agreed upon, and he states our case better than we could. He has already spoken feelingly to you, he has already spoken feelingly to me, and he'll put the whole thing feelingly to Jack. That's it. I am not a coward, Rosa, but to tell you a secret, I am a little afraid of Jack. Apostrophe, no, no, you are not afraid of him. Apostrophe, cried Rosa, turning white, and clasping her hands. Why, Sister Rosa, Sister Rosa, what do you see from the turret? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Edwin, rallying her. My dear girl. Apostrophe, you frightened me. Apostrophe, most unintentionally, but I am as sorry as if I had meant to do it. Could you possibly suppose for a moment, from any loose way of speaking of mine, that I was literally afraid of the dear fond fellow? What I mean is, that he is subject to a kind of paroxysm, or fit I saw him in at once, and I don't know, but that so great a surprise, coming upon him direct from me whom he is so wrapped up in, might bring it on perhaps. Which, and this is the secret I was going to tell you, is another reason for your guardian's making the communication. He is so steady, precise, and exact, that he will talk Jack's thoughts into shape, in no time. Whereas with me Jack is always impulsive and hurried, and, I may say, almost womanish. Apostrophe, Rosa seemed convinced. Perhaps from her own very different point of view of Jack, apostrophe, she felt comforted and protected by the interposition of Mr. Grewgious between herself and him. And now, Edwin drew his right hand close again upon the ring in its little case, and again was checked by the consideration. It is certain now, that I am to give it back to him, then why should I tell her of it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that pretty sympathetic nature which could be so sorry for him in the blight of their childish hopes of happiness together, and could so quietly find itself alone in a new world, to weave fresh wreaths of such flowers as it might prove to bear, the old world's flowers being withered, would be grieved by those sorrowful jewels, and to what purpose? Why should it be? They were but a sign of broken joys and baseless projects. In their very beauty they were, as the unlikeliest of men had said, almost a cruel satire on the loves, hopes, plans, of humanity, which are able to forecast nothing, and are so much brittle dust. Let them be. He would restore them to her guardian when he came down. He in his turn would restore them to the cabinet from which he had unwillingly taken them, and there, like old letters or old vows, or other records of old aspirations come to nothing, they would be disregarded, until, being valuable, they were sold into circulation again, to repeat their former round. Let them be. Let them lie unspoken of, in his breast. However distinctly or indistinctly he entertained these thoughts, he arrived at the conclusion, let them be. Among the mighty store of wonderful chains that are forever forging, day and night, in the vast iron works of time and circumstance, there was one chain forged in the moment of that small conclusion, riveted to the foundations of heaven and earth, and gifted with invincible force to hold and drag. They walked on by the river. They began to speak of their separate plans. He would quicken his departure from England, and she would remain where she was, at least as long as Helena remained. The poor dear girls should have their disappointment broken to them gently, and, as the first preliminary, Miss Twinkleton should be confided in by Rosa, even in advance of the reappearance of Mr. Grewgious. It should be made clear in all quarters that she and Edwin were the best of friends. There had never been so serene an understanding between them since they were first affianced. And yet there was one reservation on each side. On hers, that she intended through her guardian to withdraw herself immediately from the tuition of her music master. On his, that he did already entertain some wandering speculations, whether it might ever come to pass, that he would know more of Miss Landless. The bright, frosty day declined as they walked and spoke together. The sun dipped in the river far behind them, and the old city lay red before them, as their walk drew to a close. The moaning water cast its seaweed duskily at their feet, when they turned to leave its margin, and the rooks hovered above them with hoarse cries, darker splashes in the darkening air. I will prepare Jack for my flitting soon, apostrophe said Edwin, in a low voice, and I will, but see your guardian when he comes, and then go, before they speak together. It will be better done without my being by. Don't you think so? Apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, we know we have done right, Rosa? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. Apostrophe, we know we are better so, even now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, and shall be far, far better so by and by. Apostrophe, still there was that lingering tenderness in their hearts towards the old positions they were relinquishing, that they prolonged their parting. When they came among the elm trees by the cathedral, where they had last sat together, they stopped as by consent, and Rosa raised her face to his, as she had never raised it in the old days, for they were old already. God bless you, dear. Goodbye. Apostrophe, God bless you, dear. Goodbye. Apostrophe, they kissed each other fervently. Now, please take me home, Eddie, and let me be by myself. Apostrophe, don't look round, Rosa, apostrophe, he cautioned her, as he drew her arm through his, and led her away. Didn't you see Jack? Apostrophe, no. Where? Apostrophe, under the trees. He saw us, as we took leave of each other. Poor fellow, he little thinks we have parted. This will be a blow to him, I am much afraid. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she hurried on, without resting, and hurried on until they had passed under the gatehouse into the street. Once there, she asked. Has he followed us? You can look without seeming to. Is he behind? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no. Yes, he is. He has just passed out under the gateway. The dear, sympathetic old fellow likes to keep us in sight. I am afraid he will be bitterly disappointed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she pulled hurriedly at the handle of the hoarse old bell, and the gate soon opened. Before going in, she gave him one last, wide, wondering look, as if she would have asked him with imploring emphasis. Oh! Don't you understand? Apostrophe, and out of that look he vanished from her view. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.